Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Also, my great privilege this morning to introduce Stephen. I know he has got a great word for us this morning, so we're going to hand over to him right now.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us again this morning at Apex Online. It's been a fantastic morning. We thank again the praise and worship team for the incredible time that they've led us in and just for bringing us into that sense of God's presence with us. And we just trust that you would sense that presence at home. You know, as you're aware, many of us are back in church now, but we are very sensitive and are aware that some people can't be here. You are still part of Apex family, and we welcome you this morning, and we're thinking of you, we're praying for you, we're encouraging you, and we're cheering you on. And if you've got any specific prayer points today, please let us know. We would love to pray for you, and we would love to get alongside you. Well, here we are, the end of August 2021. Who would have thought a year and a half on, we would have still been in this situation with COVID still going on and all the rest of the stuff happening as well. Over the past week, I've heard cheers from parents of Ken, hallelujah, it's great that the children are back at school. I've heard that some of the school, I know that our own son was delighted the day before he had to go back. And then the day after he was there, it was very much a school was okay, Dad. Yeah, back in a normal routine. But you know, it's great to see all these things happening. But you know, one of the things that I've enjoyed over the past wee while is hearing these words like staycation. When did we ever think we would hear a word like staycation becoming normal? A time when people couldn't go on holiday, so they stay where they're at and just make the best of it. And one of the things I've enjoyed over the past wee while is seeing all the photographs in social media and all the comments from families of people who have been doing things together and have been very purposeful about getting up and just going out and just enjoying and making the best of that time. And you know, I was reminded when I was preparing for today of one of the times when we went out as a family to a place that was Elgin, a wee forest out there. Like Pastor Neil, I've been doing a wee bit of walking this past while. I'm not quite so quick as Pastor Neil, so I've let him go on his own and I stayed behind. Hopefully I'll catch up with him someday. But you know, one of the days that we was up at Elgin, I was just putting on my walking boots and I just glanced, there was words in the sole of the shoe that I'd never seen before. And those words were, walk the walk, every step makes an impact. And you know, as I was thinking about preparing for the service today and thinking about the message, I was just reminded of those words again, walk the walk, every step makes an impact. You know, as Christians, as friends, there's a lot of things going on in life just now. But I would just ask at the start, before I get stuck into the message today, how are you encouraging your friends? How are you encouraging your family? How are you walking the walk? Every step, it does make an impact. We're carrying on our series of legends and misfits this week. And you know, there's so many people in the Bible that we could read about, we could take lessons from them, and we could be inspired of how God has worked in and through them. But you know, there was one that caught my attention again. And it was when I was reading the book of James, chapter 5, and it comes in, it's a passage that's in, you find from verses 13 to 20. In some Bibles, it's got a header called the Prayer of Faith. But we find in there in verses 17 and 18, Elijah. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Elijah. Who was Elijah? You know, it got me thinking, and as I started to dive into God's Word, there was just so much, and honestly, over the past few weeks, I've enjoyed so much looking at the character of Elijah and how God used him in such a powerful and profound way. But to look at the story of Elijah, we need to go into the Old Testament. We need to look at the passage from 1 Kings, and we pick it up in 1 Kings 16 because it really sets the scene of why Elijah came and what was happening at that time. We find in there, in 1 Kings 16, verses 29 to 34, that King Ahab became king of the Israelite people. Now, Ahab wasn't a nice person. Indeed, in there it says, or a statement in there, that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before. That's strong words, and we find that in God's Word. He began to set up altars to Baal and build temples to Baal. Right, this was a god who wasn't really a god. It was somebody that he wanted people to worship. He tried everything to turn the Israelites away from God, our Heavenly Father. He also mentioned he married somebody called Jezebel. Now, Jezebel wasn't a nice person either, let's put it that way. And we'll hear more about her later on. So that's the scene. That's the context. You've got the Israelites, their God, our Father, our Heavenly Father was their God. And then you've got this guy, King Ahab, coming on the scene and doing his utmost to try and turn them away from our Heavenly Father. And then Elijah comes in the scene. We get into 1 Kings chapter 17, and the first that we hear of Elijah is these words. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew or rain for the next few years, except at my word." What a statement. What a statement to come on the scene. But Elijah knew who he was. You know, we'll look at the name Elijah. If you go into the Hebrew text, you find that Elijah actually means "The Lord is my God." Elijah was a person. He knew who his Heavenly Father was. He knew exactly why he was there, and he knew the purpose that he had in his life. I just want to take a few moments just to go over the text about Elijah. We don't have time to go into absolutely everything about him, but I'd encourage you to take the time to read God's Word and just work through the various scenarios and the things that we see in there of how God used him so powerfully. But we find in 1 Kings 17, after Elijah had spoken to King Ahab, he was fed. He went to a ravine, and in that ravine he stayed at a brook, and at that brook he was fed by ravens, and he was fed bread and meat. Okay, doesn't sound the most luxurious of food, but that is what he was fed. God fed him when he was at that brook. Elijah experienced God's provision even right at the start of this message here. Elijah knew who he was. He knew who his God was. He knew the God that he was serving, and he was obedient to the call. And right away we find Elijah being fed by God at the start. But you know, we're going on in the text, and Elijah was instructed by God to go to a place called Zarephath, and there he would find a widow. The widow had also been instructed by God that somebody was coming. In the text, I'm just going to skip over it a wee bit, but when he turned up, he found the widow at the edge of the city gates. And the widow was there, and Elijah met her, and she was gathering some sticks. Nothing thrilling about that, you might think. But Elijah asks her if she can go and get some water for him. And after she goes, he says to her, "Oh, and by the way, can you get some bread as well?" The response that he got from the widow was that she was collecting the sticks so that she could make a final meal for her and her son, because they had no food. Remember, Elijah had already said there was going to be no rain. There was a drought going on, and there was no food. There was nothing there. But you know, in that, the woman went, she got the water for Elijah, and she got the bread for Elijah. And because of that, Elijah shared a promise from the Lord with her that her jar of oil, olive oil, and her jar of flour would never run dry. We see a miracle, right, in that moment. Elijah's experienced God's provision. He's experienced God's direction. He was obedient to the call. But now we've got the widow in here. She was also obedient, and she followed. It could have been so easy for her to say, look, this is the last that I've got. No, this is not what I signed up for. I'm going to wait to do something else. But no, she was obedient to what God had directed her to do. And because of that act of obedience, the provision was made. We saw a miraculous moment where that jar never emptied. But we move on from that, and again we find the text telling us more about the widow and the widow's son, and the fact that the widow's son fell ill, and so much so that the widow's son died. And we find in the text that the widow comes to Elijah and says, what's all this about? What's happening? And Elijah throws himself on the widow's son three times and cries out to the Lord. It wasn't just a simple prayer. He cried out to the Lord in faith. And three times he cried out, and there was a miracle happened. That son was resurrected. He was brought back to life. Incredible moments. But you just think about Elijah coming on the scene with King Ahab, right? And then moving through all of these experiences and how his faith must have grown because of the experiences that he was in. How many of us today have experienced just massive things that God has done for us? It's maybe small things that God has done for us. How many of us have experienced that? And because of that, our faith has maybe grown. But because the difficult things have started to come in, we've maybe found that we've started to pull away and draw away a wee bit. We still need that faith. We still need to keep pressing in. We'll move on a wee bit and we go into when Elijah, we've got this other passage of when he was on Mount Carmel. He went back, he met the king, okay. And I love just the text. If ever there was going to be a blockbuster film from this text, it would be in this moment, I'm sure. But we find that Elijah meets with the king and with the prophets of Baal and says to them, okay, it's time to see who God is. If it's my God that's real, then he'll show up. If it's your God that's real, then we'll find out. And to try and prove that, they set up two altars. They got two bulls and put them on the altar. And what they did was, the idea was that whoever was the real God, that they would send fire, they would consume the sacrifice, and then that would be a demonstration, a clear demonstration of who the real God was at that time. Prophets of Baal, they went first. Okay, they set up all their stuff, and they did all their stuff, but they did it for a good period of time. Elijah was in the sidelines, if you like, mocking them. It tells us in the Bible that he didn't just stand quietly, he mocked them for what they were doing. And guess what? Nothing happened. And then Elijah's turn came. And Elijah, almost to up the stakes a wee bit, he said to them, I want you to take water and I want you to pour water over the top of the sacrifice and see what happens. They did it the first time. Now, if I was Elijah, I think I would have been standing there thinking, God, you've got to show up right now. We're really pushing the boat out here. We need you to do something. But what happened next is Elijah asked them to pour even more water on it. And then he asked them again. There was so much water that there was a wee trough had been built round about the altar, and the water had soaked the bowl, it had soaked the altar, and it had filled the trench round about it. And then we find these words from 1 Kings 18. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up all the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God." There was no maybe about it. He is God. The Lord is God. An incredible moment, an incredible display, an incredible demonstration of who God was. The passage goes on to say that there was an element of judgment, if you like, and the prophets of Baal, they were all put to the sword. But you know, this got back, you might remember that I spoke about the wife of Ahab, right, Jezebel. And the fact that she wasn't a nice person, okay. What she was doing, she was going after all the prophets of the Lord, right, and she was killing them or trying to kill them. And word got back to her of what Elijah had done on Mount Carmel and the demonstration that was there. And you know, word got back to Elijah that she was after him and she wanted to kill him. And you know, we think of Elijah, we've got him up on the peaks on the mountaintops. There's all these incredible miracles. He knew his purpose. He knew why he was there, and he was faithful, he was obedient, and he followed the Lord, and he did all these things. But you know, in his humanness, Elijah started to get scared. And you know, in Elijah's fear, we find in 1 Kings 19 that it was so much so that he eventually hid under a bush, and he prayed, "Lord, take my life, end it. I can't do any more. I can't take any more." I wonder how much of us have felt that, or, I mean, we've got quite a strong moment here for Elijah, but I wonder how many of us have felt a time of, we just can't take any more. You've maybe felt that this past 18 months because of the challenges we've been going through. But aren't you thankful that sometimes God answers prayer in a different way? We find in chapter 19 that the Lord didn't take Elijah. What he did, he sent an angel. He sent an angel to touch Elijah, to provide for Elijah some food, some bread, and some water. He didn't do it once, he did it twice. He sent the angel again, and he put his hand on Elijah and said, "Look, here's more bread and more water for the journey that is ahead of you." So Elijah had accepted the bread and the water, and he went on the journey. And we carry on, and we find that Elijah went up, and he went into a cave where he stayed. Elijah, because of his fear of what was potentially happening, he was the last prophet because all the other prophets had been put to the sword. Jezebel had seen to that. But you know, Elijah's here, he's in the cave, he just wants to close it all down. You know, for some scholars, look at this as a moment when Elijah has kind of experienced depression. It's a big word nowadays, it's a very real thing. And I want to be sensitive to anybody listening to this today who's maybe going through depression or has maybe experienced that in some way. You know, God is at work. God knows your heart even now. And you know, sometimes we need to get help to work through those moments. But you know, God will take you through. God will provide the things that you need to come out of that. Please be assured of that. But you know, there was something special happened after that. And when we move into 1 Kings 19, there's the passage here that I really, I've read it time and time again, and it almost just lands the message of Elijah. And it reads this: "And the word of the Lord came to him," this is when he was in the cave, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. God gave another direction. He gave another command, if you like, to Elijah to go out and stand in the mountain. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord, he wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied again, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And what does the Lord do? He tells him to go back the way that he came. And the purpose of that was to hand the mantle over to somebody called Elisha. You know, I just love that passage and just that image of all these things happening in that mountain. There was all this chaos, all these great images of power, all these great images, thinking about earthquakes and fire and all these powerful things that really spoke to Elijah and speak to us very powerfully. Even our situation just now, we're just on the back of COVID. Okay, for some people, it's been earth-shattering what has happened for the past 18 months. For others, they've maybe walked through it, but there's other challenges have come in different ways. Elijah come to the moment, right, when everything settled down, there came a gentle whisper. Now, I love it when you look at the Hebrew text, and that's sometimes translated as a hushed whisper of a silence. You know, there was something that came to me just this week. When we speak about a whisper, you can only hear a whisper if you're listening for it. If I was to whisper just now, my voice would go quiet. But are you listening for it? I wonder what God is saying to you today. Are you listening? Do you hear him speaking? Do you hear him saying to you? Do you hear him telling you that he loves you? Do you hear him telling you that he's got a plan and purpose for your life? Do you hear him telling you that he sent his son, the very best in heaven, to die on the cross for you? What's he saying? Can you hear it? That gentle whisper. You know, I remember Pastor Neil saying quite late last week about all the voices that can sometimes be going on, and sometimes you need to close them down. To hear a whisper, you need to get away from the noise. If there's too much noise, you can't hear a whisper. But here, we've got that moment. There's that whisper. When Elijah heard the whisper, he fell down. He pulled his cloak over his face and stood at the mouth of the cave because he knew that the Lord was there. Friends, we are all in the Lord's presence. He is here and now. If we like, when we look at the book, it speaks about Elijah. It's really a time of judgment for the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. But you know, I love how it hands across to Elisha. If we'll look at Elisha and what that translates from Hebrew, it's God of salvation. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is the same God that Elijah served. It's the same person. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Son. It's there. And you know, if we look at Elijah, we think further on in the text in the New Testament, Elijah was honored because of the work that he did for the Lord. Even though he was in that dark place at that dark time, he listened when the Lord showed up, and he listened to what the Lord said to him, and he followed him. He stepped out, and he followed. And it's the same for us. What can we learn from Elijah? There was incredible acts. Incredible miracles. But you know, in Elisha's journey, he knew of who the Lord was. We look at the names of the Lord, and he knew them. He knew Jehovah Boer, the Lord Creator, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our Provider, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our Banner, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our Healer, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is Peace. The Lord is Peace. You know, the Lord is the same Lord. The same Lord of Elijah is the same Lord who's here in the here and now. You know, we've got a wonderful hope because his Son came from heaven and he came to this earth and he died on a cross for people like you and people like me. The Israelites at this time needed somebody like Elijah. Elijah was sent. Right, and they looked at him and upheld him. And you know, God honored that. And we hear even Jesus himself spoke about Elijah later on in the text in the New Testament. Elijah was an incredible person, but there's so much that we can learn from him. But you know, in this, there's so much that we can learn of the character of God and how he wants to do business with you and business with me. Think about that whisper. Can you hear it? Friends, it might be that you are listening to this and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. And I would just like to give the opportunity just now, if you want to accept him to be king of your life, it's just a simple prayer. Can you hear him? You know, for some people, they just hear their heart going a wee bit quicker and they just know that there's something, a call in their life. Can you hear it? Friends, if you want to become a Christian today, you've just got to pray a simple prayer and it'll come up on the screen, but I would just want to pray for you just now, just in the here and now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the message of Elijah. But Lord, we just come to you and we thank you that you sent your Son, Lord, the best that heaven had, to come for each one of us. And Lord, we come to you and we just, like Elijah, we cry out to you and say that we need you in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would come in. We just pray, Lord, we just come to you and admit that we are sinners. And we just repent to you. We come to you and say sorry for the wrong things that we have done and ask you to come in and just make us whole and take us to where you want us to be. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, for we ask it in your name. Amen.